All right, here we go.
Who's the best show here?
Tech Show!
Who's the best show here?
Tech Show!
Yeah, that's the best one yet.
I am short.
Pizza, pizza.
Big O! Showtime!
Nothing wrong with getting a little dirty.
I'd like sweet meat.
Just swinging in the breeze.
Well, you were making egg foo young in the kitchen. I was in the dining room having sushi.
It's a little thing tech show, and that's a fact. If you don't like the cast, you can stick it up your ass. Ain't no funny duddies that are like it bad. For the stream link, go to like the DLNGS.org. And the IC channel is a LinuxLink.net. Bound tech show. Just sit right there, cause the cast is just about to begin.
Welcome to episode 1100 of the Linux Link Tech Show. On the show tonight, we have Joe.
Well, he was there.
We have Dave.
Hello.
Episode 12, you mean?
1001. Yeah, 1100. And I guess Joel just got back today from after a 9-hour drive. And I don't know if you saw the email. He said he has to go work out, at least the treadmill. So there we go. So we'll see if he pops in later or not. Not much going on this week for me tech wise except work, you know. I'll tell you what, Monday morning I was just about to head out with my wife and I got the ding on Slack and they're like, we're having a problem, it won't kick off the deployment. And I'm like, it's Memorial Day, and this is our overseas people who don't have Memorial Day off because it's not a legal holiday in their country. And so I'm like, I had to run back in, take a quick look, and I'm like, well, this is only development staging crap. I'm like, yeah, I don't know why it's not kicking off. We'll look at it tomorrow. You know, the bonus on that was that the hours, they were right at the point of the finishing their day, because they start, they're like, 8 hours ahead of us. But there we go. So that was fun. And that not much. Although I'll tell you what, though, my wife, Joe, not at all liking the AI shit these days. It's really pissing her off.
Dude, AI is like taking over YouTube and all these different stories, and they don't say specifically that they're AI, and then you get into them and the English is all wonky. And
did y'all see any videos produced with VO3?
I don't even know what VO3. What is VO3?
I think Google just announced it at their big meeting or whatever, but it came out maybe 4 days ago. It's video creation, and it's plumb scary. And I'm not exaggerating. You cannot tell. It does audio and video, and I've seen probably 15 videos. And if I didn't know it was AI, you know, watching it, I would never have known.
Well, Dave, I'm skeptical because everything else is shit.
Yeah,
when it goes to AI.
I'll be 59 this year, so I'm officially, you know,
old.
And you know, this is new. I've always thought I was like, you know, on the end of the curve when it came to technology. I sort of know what's going on, but AI is like something that, you know, I feel a little bit left behind on. And maybe I'm easily impressed, but this VO3 crap is. And I've seen some NVIDIA stuff, but I mean, this is enough to me. This is like a defining moment. This is the kind of tool that can fool people. It's pretty neat and scary.
I'm gonna have to check it out because my wife wasn't nonplussed about it to begin with, but then what really kind of even pissed her off more was she was just trying to find books to read for the summer.
You mentioned the reading list.
Did I say that last
week?
Yeah,
there was two of them, and I actually read a news story about it after last week's show. The same thing, that there's made-up results.
Yeah, yeah.
Not just that, but people were complaining about certain books on Amazon that didn't remove the AI prompts.
What does the AI prompt do?
The prompts that you give to the AI to get it to write another section of the book. So people were using AI to write books and then selling them.
And they left the prompts in the text.
Yes.
Showing their hand. Well, I have an AI story. I saw something someplace, Reddit, Mastodon, someplace, somebody similar age to me complaining, just like I did just a second ago, about being old and sort of left behind an AI. And I read the whole thread, and it was, you know, well, you're not using your prompts right. And that led me down a rabbit hole, but I found a prompt to use in ChatGPT that will create a solo campaign at D&D Edition 5, and it's awesome. I've played two campaigns, and it's a lot of fun.
You played them?
Just on my phone. I gave ChatGPT a prompt saying, you know, play by these rules and, you know, create my character, and this is the class I want, this is the race I want, and, you know, it's
what did you play like, as?
I played as a human ranger, neutral good. A
female human ranger.
No. So kind of like those old text-based games.
Yeah, it's just like that. It's using D&D rules. It rolls the dice for you. It's pretty fun.
I think that's kind of cool.
It's very cool. I've had a ball with it, actually.
Because hey, those text-based games were awesome.
Yeah, this was really good. It's very descriptive. I mean, it's like you're reading out of a campaign.
Now, was this just was this just ChatGPT?
I guess you could use it with Gemini or you know.
Well, I mean, was
Grok
this?
Did you just ChatGPT?
Did you just go to ChatGPT and ask it to do this, and it did it?
Yeah.
Or
I told it,
was there something already set up that
I copied and pasted a prompt from a web blog that I found where a guy did this.
And
you just tell it to act as a dungeon master and set up a solo campaign using D&D Edition 5 rules, that, you know, based on the Forgotten Realms or whatever. You know, you could tell it to base it on something else, I'm sure. And it was a lengthy prompt. I can send you a link to it. It was fun. It was a lot of fun.
Did you die?
Not yet. But if you're using the free level. This is going to be embarrassing, but if you're going to use the free level, it shuts you off after a little while. It says you got to wait 5 hours. I was hooked. I paid $20 for 1 month to see how much I'm going to use it, but it was a lot of fun.
How many for lack of a better word, modules did you go through?
Just one. Yeah.
Was it made up on the spot, or was it actually?
It was made up on the spot, and you know, that the people that I met and became part of my party, when you end that first quest, that first module, it asks you, do you want to continue, you know, using your same character? And I said, yes. So it fast forwarded me 2 years later. It gave me an epilogue, told me, you know, what happened after that campaign, but before the next, when the two people in my party, they were there if I needed them, and I could ask them to join me again. It was fun.
What was the campaign? Like what was the general gist?
The
of
general
the adventure?
Gist was, is there were these three, there was in the woods, there's these strange blue lights, that are coming with a pattern. There's a figure in gray. There's three stones, and they've gone dead, and there's more or less something that's infected the woods. And, you know, my job was to cleanse that or investigate it. And
okay,
it was very good.
What level did you start out at?
One. I said, I'm just going to start. You know, you can tell it if you want beginner, intermediate, advanced, you know, you do all that stuff. And I thought, well, I've not played D&D in years. I'm going to start at beginner level. It was fun.
What level did you end at?
Two. I mean,
level two. Oh, okay. So you were a ranger without any pants.
Yeah.
investigating stones shaped oddly like suppositories.
Yeah, yeah. I always use the name Davram because it's from Wheel of Time and it sounds sort of like David. And then for, you know, Yates means gatekeeper in Irish. So I just became Davram Gatekeeper, the human ranger.
What kind of monsters did you fight?
There was no beast that I encountered. So this thing that was infecting the stones in the woods was more sort of like an infection, but it was not anything physical. It was more like an idea. So the story was neat. It kept me.
So AI infected the woods so you could come back and clean it up, right?
Yeah.
Was that it? So you, was it just puzzle solving?
I told it the mix puzzle, battle, and something else. Let me find the prompt, and I'll
What did you battle? Did you battle anything, or was it just the infection?
I battled the guy in gray.
Oh, the guy in gray.
I had this druid that I met cast a spell of entanglement. He was tangled up, and I shot him with an arrow. And then I had a choice. I can hit him with another arrow, or I can try to cut his scepter in half, which I did. It was awesome.
That's cool. I mean, that sounds fun. Don't get me wrong.
It was fun, man.
I can see that. There was a meeting, a vendor meeting, and I wasn't part of it, but apparently what came out of it was they're going to POC this video AI product where, and I asked, you know, I'm like, well, what does it actually do? Is it actually making videos? And the guy, my manager I was talking to was like, no, it takes a picture and some text or a couple of pictures, and it ties them together, and it creates a little narrative with music in there, and so it's like what just about any photo software will do is create a little slideshow for you with music and stuff. And I'm like, why is that called AI now? That doesn't make any sense. That's like a plugin. So. I'm on the opposite end of the experience of AI with you, Joe, Dave. So go ahead. I'm sorry.
I was going to say the only other thing I did that before I got to looking for other uses was I made up a prompt. It said act as an Arch Linux expert who was proficient in bash scripting and was familiar with tools like Fuzzy Finder. And I asked it just name some good TUI internet radio programs. And it gave me a list of six. And, you know, the commands to install it. And then it gave me like a list of three honorable mentions that weren't TUI, you know, terminal user interface. They were command line interface. And then it asked me, I want it to create a bash script that would play internet radio station. Let me browse them. And I said, yes. And it spit out an 11 line bash script that would do that. Then it said, you know, you want to be able to save playlists. And, you know, and I said, yes. And it created another bash script. And I didn't try them. I looked at them. They looked like they would work, and it looked something similar to what I've already done. But I thought that was cool. But then I got to looking at other prompts, and I could see maybe, you know, and maybe I'm wrong. I got a buddy that's a CNC machine operator, and where he works, they're CNC engineers gone. But, I mean, I got to thinking, you know, if he needed to, he could probably tell that thing to act as a CNC engineer and, you know, get – some advice on how to program a machine or something, but I thought it was pretty cool, especially the D&D stuff.
Uh-huh. It sounds like fun. So the bash script is awesome.
Well, I didn't run it.
But, oh, you didn't run it.
No, but it looked useful.
Nice. Good for you, Dave. You're changing everybody's opinion on.
Well, I just found I guess what I learned was it's all about the prompts. You know, but because out of the box, your experience with ChatGPT or Grok or any of these is going to be sort of generic. But if you tell it to act as something, and I know this is not news for anybody listening, probably, but it was news to me, being almost 59 years old, that, you know, you have to tailor make it to your needs. And it was fun. And I'm putting the link in the Mumble chat if you want to read that blog about the prompt that I used to create a game.
You created, the prompts. Oh, where are you putting it?
In the Mumble chat. Oh, I've not put it in there yet. I'm doing it now.
I was looking for it.
Well, I'm typing it because with the Firefox mobile app, I can't readily find how to send it to my desktop. It's not that long a URL. I'm just trying to make sure I don't mistype it.
All right.
Oh, it is a little long. I got to figure out how to send this. I know there's a way to do it.
Dave, it's text. Isn't it text?
Be patient. It is, but it's on my phone. I'm trying to get it to my computer. There's a way to do this real easy.
You could just email it to yourself, right?
No, I could do that, yeah.
You could copy.
You know what,
paste,
I mean? There's a way to send it from your mobile browser to your desktop browser if you're using Firefox. And I'm just not seeing it. So I'm going to copy and paste. You're right.
Is there really a way to do that? I didn't know you could.
Yeah, yeah. If you're logged into Firefox, you know, as a Firefox user ID, you can send links from one Firefox browser.
Isn't there a way
to
share the clipboard with
yeah, there
KDE Connect?
Yeah. I didn't think of that. I'm running KDE Connect, I think, but I'm almost there. You wouldn't pressure me, Dan. This would already be done.
Yeah, I know. Why don't you ask ChatGPT how you could do it? It'll say, here, Dave, let me do that for you. And it'll install Windows, and then you'll be off to the races. Ba-da-da-da-da.
Okay, give me a second.
Here we go. Look at this. You're telling me you feel like you're on the cutting edge of technology. you can't get content from your phone.
It's like typing your password. It's like typing your password when somebody's standing behind you. You're gonna have to do it three times.
Wow.
Talk amongst yourselves, doggone it.
Yeah, I guess you could share with KDE.
No.
But
I've been obviously, you know, 3D printing again.
Okay.
And that's rough. Okay. Well, I had some trouble with my 3D printer. It just seemed to continue printing, but it wasn't actually extruding anything, so I figured it was clogged. But it wasn't. The gear for the extruder had evidently slipped off. So I got that put back together, but since I already had the stuff out to replace the 0.6 millimeter nozzle with another one, I just went ahead and did it. And then now I'm on my second print since I've done that, and I'm wondering if it's under extruding, because one of the prints I did was something that I had designed as a bracket to hold up a cross brace on the new mini rack that I'm 3D printing out of PETG. And it just basically crumbled. I don't know if it was a design flaw or if it was under extrusion or if my temperature set too high. But we shall see. The keys are inside. Hold on, I have to go find some car keys.
All right. Okey-doke. All right, Dan, you ready?
I'm ready.
There you go. In the body of this blog article, there's a there's a prompt, and that's what I put in ChatGPT.
Oh, Dave, come on, man. I thought you were just going to give me the prompt. Now I got to read the whole blog post.
No, you just got to scroll down until you see a block of text.
I'm trying to see where do I see a block of text.
Oh, is it the one that's okay. In the blue block?
Okay. Yeah.
Well, that's a lot.
Yeah.
That's a lot.
But no, you just copy and paste that stick in ChatGPT and you're off to the races.
Huh. You know what I'm going to do?
You going to do that?
No.
Not now. I'm going to email that to myself.
Yeah.
And I'm going to say, Dave Yates recommends this, and it's going to piss the wife off.
So I'm almost done 3D printing all the parts for this. I'm printing a top plate right now that is custom sized for the top of this thing. Hopefully it works. And I'm not going to do the cross brace like I was going to, because I was going to use that to attach a mini monitor. But I thickened up the cross brace that I'm currently printing. So if it prints out well, I'm hoping that it'll be strong enough to hold up the monitor.
And so I'll find out.
Wait.
Is that a Joel recording or is he here? He's here.
No,
I'm here.
That's actually him. Hold on a second. Did it
crumble when you tried to use it, or did it crumble when you took it out?
No, a couple of the corner pieces were very soft. Hold on, let me. And then there were a couple of parts that looked very under extruded. And then I had also tried a different style of supports. I had tried thickening up some tree supports. That didn't work as well. Yeah, there are some parts that were printed here that are just very, very under extruded. And that's with a brand new nozzle. So I'm testing out now to see how things are going on this other print. I won't know what the issue is until later, but I'm assuming that if it under extrudes again, then my gear is slipping, or I did not get the new nozzle in there tight enough and there's a gap and it's leaking out, but I am not seeing that when I look down in there. Hopefully that's not the case, because it's a pain in the ass to clean up.
I'll bet.
If it's a gear, can you just replace the
extruder? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That part I can replace easy enough, but it's brand new.
Oh, I missed that part.
Well, I hadn't mentioned that part, because this was a previous fix, and it's only been a couple of weeks. I tightened up the little, I guess, lag bolt that's there, because it goes inside it and there's no actual like head that sticks out, but I got that tightened back up. It should be holding, so maybe I've just taken on, or well, it has been really humid the last couple of days, and this is Pet G, so
yep, bubbly
might have just absorbed too much, and now it doesn't want to print right.
Now, I've never printed anything but PLA, and I have one of those dehumidifiers, whatever it's called.
That's I do as well.
You have to do one that too. With PETG?
PETG is much worse than PLA when it comes to absorbing water. Much.
Okay.
But I've read some reports that say that it doesn't absorb as bad as people think. But this is Texas, it's warm, and it was rainy there for a couple of days.
Yes, it was.
So, I say, it's highly possible that that's my problem. But I do have a fresh roll that is unopened, still in, you know, with the desiccant packs. If I need to switch, I need to switch, which will kind of suck, because roll's only about half gone. But once that's done, I've already got the piece set up at the bottom with 120 millimeter fan and the adapter, and I have the new, well, the different power supply that, you know, I had lying around, that's a portable power supply that should be quieter than the other one. And I have one more piece to print that I think is a 1.5 day print almost. That's a shelf specifically designed for the power supply and the power button that goes with it. And once that's done, I can take everything apart on the old one, put it all together on the new one. But I will have to bring down both my server rack and my main PC. Well, I could probably leave my main. No, because those hard drives attach to it. I was actually debating whether or not to make another mini rack that just was the DAS. That way, you know, the rest of my mini rack was portable. But I can always go back and do that again later.
Yep.
This one done, and then figure out what I want to do.
This is the exact thing you could probably use a CNC mill for. That would build one that was real solid.
Yeah, and, well, my wife was complaining about the cup holders in the Mini Cooper being too small and getting in the way, or the big Stanley cups getting in the way of everything. And it's true, you can't really, you know, move the shifter while you got the cups there, and it can get away in the way of like the window controls and the AC controls and everything else. So I have found, I was thinking about designing it myself, but then, you know, I went and looked on Thingiverse and I found somebody that had already done the work for me. So they're cup holder extensions, essentially. So it's like two cup holders attached to each other, and you put the one in and the other one hangs out on the side. I'll be printing that, but I'll also have to print that in PETG because I'm not going to print it in PLA in the Texas heat.
Yeah.
No,
yeah.
Real quick. Now,
when you design stuff, you using FreeCAD? What are you using?
I'm using Tinkercad.
Okay.
I'm a beginner. I probably always will be a beginner.
And that's probably me. I mean, I for whatever reason decided I was going to teach myself FreeCAD, and I gave up. I mean, yeah.
FreeCAD. I gave it
a good try.
Yeah, I'm not a fan of FreeCAD. This is one reason why I have to use, well, actually, I'm trying to think, did I put it on my Mac yet? I might have, but I know it works on Windows and Mac. Fusion 360, you can get a hobbyist license, so it's free. As long as you're just doing stuff for yourself, you can use it. Unfortunately, it does require Windows or Mac, as far as I know.
Non-starter for me.
Yeah, I know, but it's actually relatively easy to get. Tinkercad is basic. Web-based. That's what I'll say.
Yes,
yeah.
Extremely. Extremely
that's
basic.
That's web-based, isn't it? I mean, Tinkercad?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, it is
web-based.
It is. You can do a lot with it, though. I mean,
I've seen some tutorials on some guys doing some absolutely insane crap on Tinkercad.
Absolutely.
And it's like, I don't think I'm going to get there.
It just doesn't. The problems with Tinkercad is it doesn't adhere to any kind of CAD industry standards so far as how you do things.
Yeah.
So, like for example, if you wanted to take a vertice and you want to put a fillet on it, good luck. You know, there's no easy way to do it in Tinkercad. It's you can do it. It's just a pain in the fucking ass. You know.
Yeah.
It's just.
I have watched a couple of different YouTubers in regards to, you know, Tinkercad and some of the things that it can do, and saw how they did things, and it has made things easier. You know, I figured out the stuff that they were doing to lay things flat against each other,
mm-hmm.
and things like that, and yeah.
Now what
really,
now what
it, really made my life simpler.
Yes. One of the most easiest things that I can do, because I use Tinkercad to do my sometimes use it to do my snowflake designs I do every year. I make snowflake ornaments for my tree and for my friend for gifts every Christmas, and I have taken like last year, what I ended up doing is say to Gemini, I said, give me a snowflake design in black and white. All right. So in a black and white silhouette. All right. So, and it gave me that. I brought that into, you can probably use Gimp or you can probably use Inkscape or something like that. Drag it into an app, convert that into scalable vector graphic, and then you can import it into Tinkercad. And then once the image is in Tinkercad, it's flat. You grab the face and you can extrude it and make it however thick you want. And then you can throw some text and numbers on it, and there you go.
Yeah.
So, I mean, and the way you put a hole in it is you find the transparent cylinder, put that in there, and then you center it on top of the where you want the hole, and then you merge them together, and now you got a hole where you want to put the little ribbon through. So, yeah.
And I taught myself how to do all that in FreeCAD. It's yes. When I was trying to do some more complicated stuff, and I watched tutorial after tutorial. I was going along. I probably put 30 or 40 hours into it, and
I'm sure, yeah.
And I mean, not one thing, just trying to learn it, and it's just like none of it really stuck. I mean,
see, and some say you can use Blender.
Yeah.
Blender takes me in order to do what you need to do, I found a tutorial on how to set Blender up, and that tutorial took me an hour to get through the tutorial just to fucking set it up. And I'm like, yeah.
And
now,
part of me, and this is going to sound like a cop out, but this is me trying to explain. This is me trying to explain. I'm not talking about Blender, but I'm talking about 3D design in general. I don't have a mind's eye. There's a name for that. It's called aphantasia. It's just been recently named. It's been studied for 100 years. But I cannot visualize anything while I'm awake. I can have dreams, but if I try to imagine anything, it's just black. I can't do it. It's impossible. And I always thought maybe that's holding me back, because when I'm doing FreeCAD, I don't think I really got to go by is coordinates and the math of it, and this, I know I can see the image I'm working with, but I can't really imagine. I know what the end thing should look like, but it's like I said, it may be a cop out. That's maybe too dumb for FreeCAD.
No,
I'm using that as an excuse. Is that I can't visualize.
It is not a cop out.
If you can push your numbers hard enough, then you know,
right.
You can get around that.
Yeah, and that's what I think that's what I was struggling with. I was having to do that, and it was just not fun.
Yeah, I get it. It's difficult. I'll give you that. It's definitely difficult. It's not the easiest thing in the world to grasp, you know. I've done, like, one thing I did. I actually did this in Tinkercad. I had a desk that I used to have in my old house. I had this desk that my wife got on FreeCycle for free, you know. And I went to open the door. It's one of those ones with the hutch on top, you know, where it has the cabinet with the doors, you know. And for whatever reason, the cabinet, the doors and all that, you know, it's just all attached to this thin little wood, you know, or wood, probably MDF, trim piece on the top. So I went to pull the door open one day, and the bracket broke. So in the Tinkercad, and took me a minute. I took my calipers, did the measurements, made a solid triangle. And then I took the whole triangle, stuck it in there until I had the right thickness, and then I put holes about where it needed to go. And then I made a bracket, 3D printed it in about 10 minutes, and fixed my desk at the time. I don't have it anymore. Got rid of it, but you know, because I wanted something better. But that was pretty easy. That was basic enough. I could do that in Tinkercad. Now I have taken things like done stuff in Fusion 360. I've been able to take logos and pull them in Tinkercad. I was able to take like the dimensions for like a pop can or energy drink can, and then I took basically made a cylinder a little bit bigger than that, and then made the cylinder the exact, you know, with a little bit of tolerance. You had to add tolerances in there, So made it so that you can easily slide the can in there. And then I took a logo in, imported it, dragged it up until the logo itself was 3D, and then stuck it on the side of it and made it look kind of normal. The only thing with that is the logo itself would be flat. All right. So it would kind of have like one side would be jutting out and it would be flat all the way across. So like now one thing you could do is.
That's when you use a cylinder with a hole and you put it around it.
Yes. Yes,
turn
actually.
It into a hole and
yes.
It shapes the
logo so it yeah. conforms to it. Yes.
I think another one of my problems is what I was my goal was way too complicated for me. I mean, I've designed like some hooks. I designed
that's
a,
easy to do. Yeah.
Yeah. I designed a spacer. This you won't know what this is, but for a I've got a 120-year-old safety razor that takes wedge blades.
Nope, I get it. Yeah.
Okay, but you can make a gem like a paint scraper blade work, but you need a little triangle spacer in there. I've designed that. But what I was trying to do was design a Schick injector razor. Because I shave with a 3D printed razor, I just shave my cheekbones without that. But it's a Schick it holds a Schick injector blade, but it won't inject in there. And I was trying to do something with that tight of tolerance, but just making the 3D shape of a razor was kicking my butt.
Interesting.
Yeah, but I gave up a long time ago. I may revisit it one day. Speaking of giving up, I know last week I mentioned I run a Docker image of CirxNG. It's a meta search engine that anonymizes your request. And when I went on vacation, I came back and it stopped working. I thought it was a reverse proxy issue. And I think Dan mentioned, well, can you just downgrade? Well, I did. It stopped working on the version that didn't work was the one that was released on May 18th. So before I went on vacation, I do know that the version that was working was the May 16th. So I downgraded to that and it was working. And then I just upgraded to 5.18 again. And for whatever reason, it just started working again. So I don't know, but there's been a version since then and I'm back up to the latest, but it just downgrading and upgrading seemed to fix the problem for whatever reason. So it had nothing to do with my Apache setup. It was an image got released. It didn't
interesting.
Work. Yeah. The downgrading, A Docker image is pretty easy.
Cool.
I had an issue with one of my Proxmox, the LXCs, where it just wouldn't start for whatever reason, and it was not giving me, you know, any information about why it wouldn't start. And I went and looked, and it turns out that the disk was full. So what ended up fixing it was I expanded the image by 2 meg, and then it was able to start. Granted, it died again because, you know, the disk was full. But so that told me that I didn't need to do anything with the image at least. And then what I ended up doing was moving other things off of that onto a larger disk, and then everything just started working fine.
Okay.
So, yeah.
Nice.
Thankfully, everything started working fine.
So,
did all you have to do is just change a version number in the a config file?
In the Docker Compose file, I just changed from latest to, you know, I went to the release page and found the version of the date that it stopped working and went back one version before that and it worked. And then I changed it again and it still worked. And then I went back to the latest and it was working fine. Because I run Watchtower, which keeps it at the latest anyway. But for some reason, one of the upgrades from 5.16 to 5.18, it just barfed and stopped working.
I started using Watchtower and that borked my Nextcloud.
Oh,
like twice.
Are you using the Nextcloud all in one image, or
I was using the just the Nextcloud Docker image, but I switched to the LXC. And honestly, I think the LXC has less features, so I might end up switching back. But because it updated, it evidently got rid of my config, and basically, if I reconnected any of my other Nextcloud instances to it, It said, oh, there's nothing supposed to be here. Let's get rid of all that crap.
Oh, that would suck.
Yeah. Started deleting everything, and then
My next
it
cloud
was a
is,
problem.
Yeah, my next cloud is bare metal, installed by hand, ever how you want to put it. And I'm afraid, I mean, I upgraded every time I was upgrade. I've run into zero issues. I've been running it for years, and it just works. But I've been so tempted because I like Docker so much to move to the Docker all in one image, but I'm afraid to.
Well,
if it ain't broken,
the LXC is working for me, but I have not been able to find a way to, like on my phone, be able to have it my downloads full. Like I can set it up so that all my images get backed up and my downloads folder gets backed up, but I can't make it so that I can delete things locally and then have that, you know, removed from my phone.
That sounds like a Nextcloud client issue, but I don't know. Because I've had the desktop client on two occasions now ignore the settings on my Nextcloud files directory or whatever. I have three or four folders I want backed up to my laptop. And twice, and probably out of the last 16 upgrades, it has reset that to back up all. And I've ended up running out of disk space on my laptop twice because of that, so that was weird. But my problem is, you know, I'm running an Apache web server, bare metal, and I've got all these reverse proxies set up, and I'm running a dynamic DNS for my domain. And all the Docker images I see, they're running, you know, Dockerized Nginx and Nginx proxies, and it's just like, I think that's going to interfere with everything else I got set up, so... What I got's working, so I'm just not going to touch it.
Always a good idea. So, I just drove over 2,000 miles in last week.
I was supposed to. That didn't work out.
Yeah, it wasn't too bad. The only problem I had is when I was down in Baton Rouge, I ended up popping two tires in the rental car. So, and of course, I popped them on Sunday, and the next day is Memorial Day, and when all the car agencies, I think most of the neighborhood ones will close. So I called them up. They say, "Well, you can pay for it. Bring the receipt, and we'll reimburse you." I'm like, "Okay." So, but it's late Sunday, and I Googled it, found the closest one that was having to be open 24 hours. It was old boys tire repair and used tires, and I walked in, the guy, I asked him, well, how much it cost to patch a tire, and he said $20. I'm like, sold. And I had him patch both tires, found this because I found the screw in the one tire, and then the other tire I couldn't find anything, but it was showing low anyway, and he found a nail in that one, and I'm like, all right, so hopefully they'll accept a handwritten receipt, because it was like this kind of place where you had to go up to the ATM, get the $40 out, and hand it to them. But I can't even be mad, because if they fix them all up, you know, and it was really quick. The guys had it fixed in 20 minutes.
Oh yeah,
That's
high for a tire patch, in my opinion. But my tire patch guy charges $5. But I can patch it myself. But I've taken it to this guy 4 miles from my house, and he charges $5.
Yeah, you don't want me trying to do that. They didn't plug it. They used that patch on the backside of it, so they took it off the rim and all that.
Oh yeah, I can plug a tire. I don't know about patching, but I can plug a tire.
So the plug would have been $10.
Okay.
But. Still, $40 is not bad. I think most I paid was $80, and that was at a pinch.
So
you
made it fine on the patch tires.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Did all 8 bowling balls survive the trip?
Yeah, and so did my back. I sat there sitting there calculating it, because what I figured out is we had a Ford Expedition, so I figured out it would be easier to stack it, because it's a 4-ball bag. And the way it works is it's kind of like the bottom one is a 2-ball bag, and then you have another 2-ball bag that you stack on top of it and strap it. And there's straps that keep it all together, right? So I figured it'd be easier if I picked the whole four ball bag up in one piece, throw it up in there, roll it back, and scooch and move it around until I got to where I wanted it. Let me tell you.
80 pounds a bag, right?
No. There was 15 pounds per ball, so 60 pounds per bag. Okay. 60 pounds plus the bag itself plus whatever else was in it. So, like, one of them might have had his shoes in it, you know. So,
yeah.
Fortunately, a lot of his stupid little gewgaws, like towels and, you know, ham poof balls and stuff like that, were all in the Brunswick backpack he had. But he did rough. It was on the U.S. Open pattern, oil pattern, and he was having a rough time of it. Now, he did better in singles and doubles, and he wound up being paired with this guy from Indiana, come to find out, and this guy was, like, talking to me, and he told me, well, his son would have been my son's age. I said, oh? He's like, yeah, he died. And I'm like, oh, God. I'm like, but this guy was just so actually excited to be paired up with Luke because he was so close in age to his son, and the guy was crying by the end of the set of six games. So I got a picture of him with this guy, and he was pretty nice. A little bit sauce, but then most of the bowlers were by the end of six games. So, but it was a pretty interesting event at the Raising Cane River Center. They built this. Oh, you know, I was asking. I'm like, how in the world can they build this bowling? Essentially, build the bowling center. You know, just the lanes itself. So, lanes, ball returns, all that stuff, right? Scoring machines, all that stuff. And build it and use it for 6 months. How in the world does the USBC? Because that's got to be a couple $1 million at least, right? And I guess they end up selling all the equipment at the end when they're done with it in July to different bowling houses. So I don't know if they how they sell the lanes, because the lanes are going to be pieces of synthetic lane, because that's what they use now. They don't use wood anymore. They use synthetic, which is like a plastic. You know, like a vinyl kind of thing, almost, you know. But it was really cool. I had some pictures. If I get a chance, I'll post some over into
that thing.
What'd you say?
That thing.
That thing. It's on Facebook already. Mastodon. Mastodon. Okay. I'll post some in Mastodon. So, but they had no pros were there, but we found out, like, the next day, EJ Tackett and Sean Rash, two of the pros, actually bowled in the event, too, because it's a USBC Open Championship, so they can go in it. So, but, and I ended up, Saturday, went to New Orleans, and I was in New Orleans, and I had some beignets at Café du Monde, which were just incredible. I ordered three, and I ate two of them, and Luke ate the other one. I will say, I don't like coffee with chicory in it. I'll drink it, and if I went down there again, I'd probably order one, but because I had a cafe au lait. But it was not my normal cup of tea, or coffee for that matter. And then went to Central Grocery and had a muffalata. So don't know if you've ever had one of those before. Dan, have you ever had one of those?
A what?
Muffalata.
What's a muffalata?
Well, it's essentially, it is, here, let me find the definition first real quick.
It sounds familiar.
It's basically, it's a round loaf of Italian bread. Now, I only ordered half and split the half with Luke.
Oh, one of those things. Right. I don't know if I've ever had an official muffalata.
So it's got, let me expand this a little bit.
Sounds like I'm going to get a bowl of bread with coffee in it.
No, it's nothing like that. Okay, so it had the main topping that probably is the most objectionable for some people is olive salad. So it was a mixture of chopped olives, celery, gardeniera, garlic, olive oil, and vinegar with additions like capers, roasted red peppers, and oregano. That's like the main topping. It has meats on it. It has a Genoa salami, ham, mortadella, and that's the typical meats, and provolone, and Central Grocery has Swiss cheese on theirs. And it was really, not a huge, huge fan of olives, especially Kalamata, and Kalamata olives is what the Central Grocery puts in theirs.
Are those the Greek olives? That's the ones
yes,
I like.
Yes, the Greek
that's
olives.
That's the only ones I like.
Right. So, but it honestly didn't, there was a very thin layer of that, so it actually was added to it. And I think one thing that helped it is because the other ingredients it was mixed with. So I think it tasted like there was some garlic in there. But and the lunch meats were just out of this world, and there's no way I could have finished a whole one because that would be ridiculous. A whole one would feed about 3 people. So as it was, the quarter of one that I had was very filling, and let's just say I about 2-3 days I went over my calorie count, but that's okay. I was on vacation. Then I went to a place called Coyun's Barbecue. And the main reason I went there is not so much because they did have barbecue. They had like pulled pork and brisket and stuff like that. But I ended up having crawfish etouffee with and it had shrimp with it. And it was all poured over a baked potato. Oh, it was so good. It probably wasn't, I would say, traditional etouffee, but it was still good, and I loved it. The crayfish was delicious. Oh, so good. And then on the way back up, of course, I did not know that I would be passing Buc-ee's, but there was 2 Buc-ee's. There was one in Kentucky and one in Alabama.
Did you stop at both of them?
No. No. I stopped at the one on the way back. We stopped at the one in Alabama, but I ended up stopping for lunch first. So, but because I wanted to get some gas, I figured if I got gas at Buc-ee's, by the time I got to Nashville where my hotel was, I would have still had enough gas without having to fill up to make it all the way home. And I was right. I did. In fact, I gotta put a little bit of gas in there because I gotta drop the rental car off tomorrow with a half tank gas in it. But I, of course, did get a sandwich, but I didn't eat it right away because we had already ate at this place called Jack's. It was a Jack's is like a burger place. With like
Jack in the Box or Jack?
Jack's. Jack's. Oh. Trust me. And the logo looks almost the same, to be honest.
Okay.
But they had like fried chicken and hamburgers and stuff like that. I got a grilled chicken salad, but...
You've been to Buc-ee's before, right?
Oh, absolutely.
Okay. What sandwich did you get?
Chopped brisket, the only one. Yeah. That's the only one worth getting. And I threw it in the cooler, and when I got to the hotel in Nashville, that's what I ate. That and some beaver nuggets.
Is that what they're calling them these days?
No. Beaver nuggets is... Best I can describe it is if you've ever had... like a popcorn-like thing. It's not popcorn, you know.
Imagine like sugar corn puffs, except caramel flavor. They're a little
sweet
for me. Oh, okay.
Yes.
So
and
like...
actually, not only were they caramel flavor, because they have smaller bags of salted caramel. That's what I got. No good.
Yeah, we stopped at the Buc-ee's in south of Jacksonville, going to St. Augustine.
Yeah,
before last twice, once going and once coming.
Oh, I would do. Yeah, absolutely.
Right, we got gas, but I mean, I think I got a brisket sandwich on the way down.
Oh, so good.
On the way
man.
Back up, I think I just got a bag of all peanut had trail mix had peanut butter cups in it.
Okay.
And I just lived off of that on the ride. But.
Yep. Yeah, it is a spectacle, man.
Oh, I got some ghost pepper jerky.
I have Bohemian garlic zero sugar version of the Bohemian garlic downstairs. I haven't broken it open yet, but I figured I'd save that for when I got home. Eventually, Ohio's supposed to get one, but we're supposed to get one. It's going to be Huber Heights, which is all the way by Dayton. But, dude, I would go over there to get a beef brisket sandwich easy.
They're allegedly putting one 15 miles south of my house, which I'm
not a fan.
I'm not a fan of that.
Spartanburg?
Anderson.
Okay.
It's where I-85 runs through Anderson County, and it intersects the 178, which is the highway that I would take to Anderson, which is the highway I drive to go get my haircut. And it's just going to add so much traffic, it's ridiculous.
And today's weight?
Nah, I stay away from Bucky's unless I have to be. It's like going to an amusement park. I mean, if you're there, yeah, you might as well.
Bucky's is fun.
Yeah,
it's fun.
If it wasn't for my, you know, my wife and my kids wanting to go, I'd have drove right by it. They do have
You could drop easily a couple hundred bucks in there without even thinking.
Oh, I would be thinking.
I went to Bucky's once, and that was enough for me.
Yeah, that's me, Dan.
Guess what? I may be not next year, but the year after, I might be down near you, Dave.
Oh, because thanks for the warning.
The USBC Open Championships in 2028 will be held in Greenville, South Carolina.
Well, look at that, huh?
That is pretty close.
At the Greenville Convention Center.
Okay.
So next year it's in Reno, and I don't know if we're going or not. Kind of got them talked into it, but it's kind of because what we found out, we talked to them at the event, and they had a place called Buller's Express. So what that is it's a service where you can ship your bowling balls,
You can do what to your bowling balls?
You can ship them to the tournament location. Okay. The only problem is, it takes 7 to 10. You have to ship them out 7 to 10 days before you're due to be there, and it takes 7 to 10 days to get them back. So a week on either side of the tournament, he won't be able to bowl unless he left some stuff home. And they don't ship the bags. All right, you have to take those with you, so you'd have to check those anyway. On the other side of that coin, it'd be about $100-$150 to ship the 8 balls that he had this time. All right, which my calculation would be probably $300 or $400 if you checked them at the gate at an airline. So, because there ain't no way I'm driving to Reno, Nevada at all. That's not happening. Louisiana is as far as I'll go, dude. Or Texas. I've been to Texas before. When he was a youth, they bowled in I think they bowled in Fort Worth. So that was many years ago now, but definitely probably going to go to the Greenville one. Cause he'll probably, unless he's finally got his automotive degree squared away and an automotive repair job, he'd still be living here as far as I know. But yeah, it'll be interesting what I think USBC don't get here is they have they said that this year's probably had the most teams that ever signed up for the Open Championships. They're going to see a decline next year because Reno is so fucking expensive. You know, I don't know how that's going to work. They have it in Reno a lot. In fact, the place they have it in Reno is a permanent location. In Reno, it's the bowling stadium or something where they do a lot of PBA events in Reno too, but this is the one they do in Greenville. Looks like it's going to be very similar to what they did here. So, but I even got a jersey when I was there. USBC had their own little store there, and they had one that was black with purple and gold fleur-de-lis on it for Louisiana. So I got that. I wear it too. But it's an interesting event. I didn't really see anybody famous. They did have like a little display upstairs. They had a whole bunch of stuff from artifacts from the before it was USBC, it was the American Bowling Congress. There was the WABC, which is the Women's ABC. And when I was a kid, the youth was YABA, or Youth American Bowling Association. And those have all merged to become USBC, United States Bowling Congress. So, but he could potentially win some money on it, but we won't really know until the end of July where he and his teammates finished. So, but it was an interesting event. And not too bad of a drive either. It wasn't really that bad. Probably the worst part was the little section of Mississippi we had to go through. Because there was a whole lot of nothing there. It's like we got to be hungry, and I look at an exit at the signs at the exit, and like there ain't nothing here to eat. So we finally broke down and stopped at a Burger King. And that was some delicious Burger King because we were hungry. We were about 3 or 4 hours past where we normally eat lunch at, but. And I had a place down there called, I forget the first place we ate at, but I had a, what did I have when I was there? Oh, I had a club sandwich, chicken club sandwich. So, but it was in this little artsy fartsy section of Baton Rouge that was not all that far from Louisiana State. I could have gone over. They have a 4 mile track slash trail around the what they call University Lake. On the LSU campus, and that's about 4 miles. It was too damn hot when I was down there. It was in the 80s, the 90s, until the day I left, and it was in the 70s.
It was in the 50s here yesterday.
Same here. Guess what we had to do when we got home, Dave? We had to turn the heat on because it was cold in the house, but luckily, the cat, as usual, was very happy to see us. I've had cats that would cuss you out when you got home from a long trip. Because the cats, as long as they had the auto feeder and a clean litter box at the start, they can go for about a week.
Yeah. You know?
And he did fine. You know, he was very meowly and wanting picked up and held a little bit and petted for a little bit. And then he was done. And now he's back to normal. So, but... It's funny is where I accidentally he can't open our front door if you leave the deadbolt unlocked. He can open it. All right. So we were taking stuff in and out of the or out of the car and into the house. And I walk over to the front door. There he was just sitting on the porch. I'm like, "Get your ass back in there." And he went back in. As far as he'll go when he goes outside is under my car. But that's as far as he'll go. And then he'll eventually go back in on his own. I think he likes to go outside. But what's funny, though, is I have a screen room, and I'll open that and go sit out there sometimes. And I'll open the door. He'll come up to the door, and I'm like, "You can come on out." He'll look at it, and he just turns around and goes back in the house. I'm like,
they do what they want to.
Pretty much.
Dan, you got that outdoor shower going yet?
There it's you been go. A little too cold, Dave.
Yeah.
If I freeze my little nipples off
and his nipples too.
We had the
served to Joel at Bucky's, I guess.
We're getting a new liner in our pool and we're converting it to salt water, and those guys are finishing up tomorrow. And so the pool's filling up right now. My wife's like, "Are we gonna be able to get in the pool this weekend?" I said, "If you want to freeze to death," I said, it's been in the 50s for 3 days. That water's cold.
Dave's a pussy.
I'm not getting that water. It's got to get warm.
I'm joking. I'm joking. But now I will say that the hotel we stayed at had the pictures of the pool area were a little deceiving. I mean, it was right. It was shaped like a guitar. But it's like they ain't done anything on it since they opened the pool up. All right. So, like, it could use a coat of paint, maybe some new furniture. Maybe a little heat in the pool because it was friggin' cold. I was okay with it. A couple of the ladies that went with us, they didn't like it. But, anywho, the pool we had at the house, the Verbo, was fantastic. It was nice and warm. The bedrooms were huge. Both of the bigger bedrooms had a king-size beds in it. So we had a king-size bed. And it was pretty nice. And I actually, instead of taking my normal CPAP, I took my travel one. Glad I did, too. I took the battery, too. And because hotel rooms generally suck for CPAP users, because especially if both you and your wife have CPAPs, because there's usually only outlets in the middle of the two beds, all right? You might get look out. You might have one on the other side of the bed. I usually don't.
I don't travel without a surge protector, power strip, and extension cord.
So I usually do that too. Now, what the hard part was though is I had that in my normal laptop bag, which I'd taken the sleeve out because I didn't need it. I was just using it to hold miscellaneous tech, and because my son insisted on taking a super fucking huge suitcase. I had stripped everything out of that, put it in my backpack that I was going to use if I went on a hike down there. And, of course, what did Joel do? Forgot to put the power strip in there.
Yeah.
So, but that's okay. I had the battery with me, and both nights I was in the hotel, I ended up using the battery, and it worked just fine. In fact, I only had it charged before I left, and there's still plenty of charging. I could go another day or two on it, so... that little CPAP did a marvelous job keeping me my sleep apnea in control. So that was a good test of it, and I'm ready to go do it in a tent now. But
I'm going to briefly rehash something you missed, Joel, when you showed up
yes.
today. I put a link in the Mumble chat. If you play D&D or if you like choose your own adventure games, I put a link in the Mumble chat to a chat GPT prompt I've been using to play Dungeons and Dragons solo campaigns.
Interesting.
I've had a ball doing it. It's been as fun as any fun game I've ever played. Did you read Very that nice. Prompt, Dan?
Did I what?
Read the prompt.
I looked at it. I didn't read the whole thing.
Okay.
I didn't want to take away my attention to what you were saying, Dave.
Well, you need to try it. You need to try it before next week because it's fun. I built it up. You're probably gonna think it's lame, but I had a ball with it.
So I wonder, does this always do the same quest?
I don't think so. I can, because ChatGPT remembers crap. I mean, if you put in this prompt, it's always going to act like a dungeon master until you tell it to forget all previous instructions and put in another prompt. So I played one campaign, and I finished it, and it started another one. And I think if I told it to start all over, you know, with a new campaign, it would do so. Because I think it gave me a choice. Do you want to continue on with this character or create a new one? So I've only played one campaign, but the impression I get is it's always going to be something you've not done yet.
Well, I have it.
And it's based on, I thought that prompt is based off Forgotten Realms, so you could probably put something else in there. Now you can customize the prompt.
I have to look and see if I can't use the fact that I'm a DeVry student to get ChatGPT-3 for nothing.
Well, if you were a college student, it was free for the month of May, but you have like 2 days, right? 2 days left.
Yeah, not that I care. But, ooh, I wonder if I get, I had gotten my commission from my own sales of First Form, and I ordered a case of energy drinks, and they just did a redesign on the cans. Not that that's a big deal. But yeah, I didn't, when I was down in Baton Rouge too, I did go work out at the Planet Fitness down there, and I managed to get a PR on the treadmill for 5K. But didn't get to work out near as much as I wanted to, because most of the time I was going after all the festivities were over and after almost everybody else settled down. So I drove over there at like 9-10 o'clock at night, and since the one down there is open 24 hours, I was able to do that.
Oh, damn. I I don't think I mentioned this last week. I don't think, but it, what are your thoughts on the James Gunn Superman coming up?
Ben,
you seen the trailers?
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. I mean, I am excited to see Justice League. It's interesting. The two trailers that I've seen were painted a very different picture of Crypto. Wait.
One trailer versus another, you mean?
Yeah. It's Crypto, right?
That's
dog's name, Crypto. Yep. Yes. Completely different experience with Crypto. They were interesting. I'm hopeful that he does a good job. I hope who's the bad guy in this?
I'm not sure.
I hope whoever.
There's like four villains, but I could be wrong about that. I think it's a short movie too. It's not that long.
What, 10 minutes?
No, it's longer than that.
Like, what's short? Like an hour and a half?
84 minutes? Yeah.
84 minutes?
Yeah, that seems short.
I guess they're just not going to go with any origin crap, right? It's just.
Yeah, they're jumping right in.
Well, I guess we'll see. I mean, God, 84 minutes.
I'm guessing. I want to say I read that someplace, but I'm not sure. I mean, I've seen movies that are 110, 120 minutes long. So, I mean, 84 is sort of short.
And hopefully the new Fantastic Four doesn't suck.
Wait, okay, so runtime rumors.
How wrong am I?
I don't know. Nobody knows. We'll know when it comes out.
Yeah. July 11th.
I'm looking forward to Fantastic Four too. I haven't seen Thunderbolts and I didn't see Captain America yet, but it just came out yesterday, I think it was on. Wait, what's today's date?
Today's the 28th. Is that right?
I think it came out yesterday on Disney Plus. So I really want to see it. And you know, it's like one of those things where I don't know. I don't know anything.
Yeah.
I don't know anything. I'm like, can I, if Thunderbolts doesn't hit streaming before Fantastic Four, is it going to get messed up or something if I watch them out of order? You know, is that stupid scene at the end, at the post-credit scene? Is it? But I didn't see Eternals in the theater, and I watched the movies after that came out after that, so it didn't ruin anything. Not that Eternals ever mattered. They just dropped that like a hot potato. It kind of sucked, but.
Then next year, Avengers Doomsday is out.
They canceled Wheel of Time after three seasons.
Yeah.
Maybe another studio will pick it up. I doubt it. But.
Yep.
Wheel of Time on?
It was Amazon.
Oh, okay.
I think Amazon and Sony, maybe.
Okay. What are you going to say, Joel?
I'm going to say the new Avengers movie is out next year, Doomsday, with Robert Downey Jr. as Victor Von Doom. I just wonder how they're going to make that work since the same actor played both him, that and Iron Man.
It's alternate world crap.
Is that how they're doing? Oh, God.
Multiverse, baby. You can do whatever you want. That's
gonna screw shit up.
Yep.
The jury's still out on how Pedro Pascal's going to do as Reed Richards.
I think he'll do a good job.
He does good in everything.
He'll do fine.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, you don't know, Joel.
I mean, he plays himself. He plays himself at everything, you know? I mean, we went, how many seasons of The Mandalorian that we go when, when did he do his reveal? Was it season two? Where he took his helmet off? I can't remember.
Maybe.
Good question. I don't know.
Well, they're supposed to bring out a, what, Mandalorian Grogu movie.
Does anybody want that? Do we need that?
That's a good question.
Time to pack it in for Star Wars, right, Joel?
Yes.
Oh, shoot. Professor Xavier is going to be Patrick Stewart again?
As long as he's still alive, he's going to be milking that
in the new Avengers movie.
To the end of time.
And Rebecca Romijn coming back as Mystique.
Really?
Yep.
In the Fantastic Four? She's
listed as being in Doomsday.
Oh, in Doomsday, yeah.
Next year.
Is Hugh Jackman going to be in that with Ryan Reynolds?
It's good. Let me see.
I did finally watch Deadpool 3. That was good.
Well, Chris Hemsworth is Thor.
Deadpool and Wolverine, I finally watched it.
And Chris Hemsworth is back for Thor in that movie. And then you got Simu Liu as Shang-Chi. He's going to be in it. And Loki, you know, Tom Hiddleston back as Loki. Duh.
Oh, Paul Rudd's back in that one, too. Going to be Magneto. That's great. I'm glad he's coming back.
Yeah.
Oh. And he's freaking old as fuck.
Kelsey Grammer's back as Beast. Channing Tatum is Gambit. Gambit. Namor?
That actually makes sense. Namor, that's DC, though.
No, right, that's not DC. Wait, no. No.
I'm sorry.
Namor wasn't.
I'm thinking of the other one.
He wasn't.
I mean, this could be really good or be really bad.
Charlie Cox is in it. That's awesome. I don't know how they're going to fit Daredevil.
Florence Pugh back as Yelena Belova.
Ant-Man and Doctor Strange will be there. Cool.
Yes. Yeah, you have one out of all the chances.
Wait. Why is it? Oh no, there's Pedro Pascal. I was gonna say I got all the way to the bottom, and it was
he's
like,
in
what?
There.
Why is
he's near the top?
Ben Grimm there, but
he's
I
near
missed,
the top.
Yeah, Pedro Pascal's all the way at the top.
Vanessa Kirby, Sue Storm, which is the same as in the Fantastic
oh, is she
Four
at the
movie.
Top too? U.S. Agent's gonna be
yeah.
There? Oh yeah, there she is.
Bucky Barnes in it again. The Winter Soldier.
Where's Spider-Man? Who's playing Spider-Man?
Where's Halle Berry? Storm? She should be in there.
Peggy Carter's back. Wait, why is there no?
Yeah, that.
Well, there's no, I don't think.
No what?
Well, there's no Hawkeye probably, right? Because he lost
yeah.
his leg.
What?
Well, they got the female.
Oh, is she
one
in
from,
it?
I don't know. There is a new Hawkeye.
No.
Yeah, but I don't recognize her in any of these pictures here. And maybe. But I don't see her listed.
They got it. They have a new. They have a new Black Panther.
Well, I don't see Ryan Reynolds.
Winston Duke.
I don't see Ryan Reynolds or Hugh Jackman listed here either. That's kind of like Spider-Man, Wolverine, and Deadpool are not in this. That seems weird.
And they got a lot of X-Men in it too.
Yeah, they don't like doing a lot of crossover with Deadpool, so.
But it does have a lot of X-Men.
I don't know. I don't know how I like this. I mean, were any of these folks ever Avengers? That's something I'm not sure of because I'm not a comic nerd.
Well,
basically,
everybody's you know
been
what?
An Avenger
yeah,
at one
everybody's
point.
Everybody's been an Avenger at this point. Yeah.
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 I guess that's probably right. But yeah. the world's best heroes.
Yeah, fuck DC, right, Dave?
Yeah.
Yeah.
DC. They had a... I don't know if any of you watched any of Katie Sackhoff's podcast, The Sackhoff Show, but they had what's his face? Damn it, Sam. The guy, no, the guy who was crashed down in Battlestar Galactica. Damn it, why can't I remember?
And none of us remember either.
But he's the guy who did. Well, he came on there, and because he's in the, I don't know if you've seen the this Spock and Kirk thing, where kind of put an end of generations onto it or something. I'm trying to remember the name of that trailer. It was done by.
Gonna have Loki in it? I mean, I thought he was kind of. Yeah, movie.
In Doomsday, yeah.
I thought he was kind of stuck.
Well, he's going to get unstuck, Joe. Come on.
Okay, well.
You know what's going to unstick him? The money. The money unsticks okay. him. That's
right,
how it works.
Right.
I thought he was like holding together time and space or something.
Sure, but he brings the money.
Yeah.
The money, Joe. The money. You smell that?
It the money, portals. Money.
I don't know. I haven't even watched the newest Deadpool yet.
Oh, it's so good. You
Sam
watch
Witwer.
It.
That's
I,
who once, it was.
I will watch it, but I just haven't gotten around to it.
That brings the money, too. We got to wrap this up. It's getting late. Joel has
yes,
to go work
do.
Out again.
It's 10 o'clock.
Yeah. Well, thank you,
no,
everybody.
I'm done.
All right. Well, I'm glad you made it back safely and had a good time. And I hope that you
yep.
get your car situation there fixed there, Joe. And all worked out. And Dave, you just keep on molding them suppositories, I guess. Here we go.
Keep being retired.
Yeah.
Yeah, we are. That's not definitely.
All right, here we go.
I am short.
Oh my God.
It's Hacker
Public Radio. Hacker Public Radio is a daily podcast by the hacker community for the hacker community. If you're interested in technology, creative thinking, hacking, Linux, or any kind of computer, that kind of stuff, you should listen to Hacker Public Radio at hackerpublicradio.com.
So we can paint anything we want?
Anything at all.
How about if I paint your fine ass? Yeah, with my tongue brush. Shut up. Just shut up.
Daddy has a gun!
It's over.
Well, you were making egg foo young in the kitchen. I was in the dining room having sushi.
Woo!
Alright.
Alright, what?
765-874 unification.
What is that?
That is a short film by Otoy, and you should look it up. It's a short film by Otoy, and they basically use Sam Witwer to help play Kirk looking like he did back during Generations. And, of course, they use a lot of AI bullshit over it, too. But it's actually a pretty good short film. I don't know if you have to watch any of the other films. We've all seen Generations by now.
Did we?
I should hope. It was 1994. I should hope so. The first Star Trek The Next Generation movie?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. That was a long time ago.
Right. Yep. It was.
What are you going to do? I gotta get up tomorrow.
I gotta take that damn expedition back, and I kind of don't want to.
You don't want what?
Pork butt.
Yeah, smoke a pork butt.
I don't want to take that rental car back. I liked it.
Steal it.
It's a big honk of bees that has like a Oh, no. No thanks. No.
No, just keep renting it then.
That'd be kind of expensive. But I will tell you one thing. That thing has a massive fuel tank in it. Has to, because it only gets 18 miles a gallon.
Woo! That smells expensive.
What is that? 800 mile trip you took?
900.
18 miles a gallon.
Yep. Fortunately, we all split the gas. I paid for it on the way home, and one of the ladies paid for it on the way down.
What ladies?
The two of the teammates that went with us.
Wow. That sounds like a good time, Joel.
My wife, too.
How many miles was
that? As long as
she's, you know, down with it, then I don't see the problem.
How many miles was it? 900
round, 900 down, 900 back up.
Whoa, 1,800 miles.
900? Yeah.
900 down, 900 back up, 1,800.
That's right.
Ish. 18 miles a gallon.
I'm sure that's I drove 100 over 2,000 gallons of gas. That on my whole vacation.
When you say a big tank, was it 30 gallons, 40 gallons? I mean, I'm not know about no car that's got a gas tank over 30 gallons. But
I would say when it's empty, it costs me twice as much to fill it up as it does my own car.
Sounds like a 30 gallon tank.
Yeah. Yeah, I would say that's about right.
$300 roughly in gas, huh? That's something.
Because it has better range than my Traverse, but it gets shittier gas mileage.
Oh, wait, what are you getting? 400 miles out of a tank?
My Traverse, yeah, probably about that. That one, I could get about 500.
Crud it up on the inside. So I'm not holding it against him that I have to keep going back.
Yeah.
But I mean, $2,000 is not have to buy another vehicle.
Yeah.
As opposed to $6,000, which is I might as well go get a different car.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Something that's not 25 years old.
Yeah, I put it in perspective. Am I spending as much as I would with a year of car payments? Yeah. But I don't believe in reincarnation, but if I did, I'd want to come back as one of your cars. Sounds like you do your best to keep them going.
Oh, dude, I don't mind turning a wrench, and I try to make sure, as long as we are able to afford it, we do the maintenance on them. I make sure that the oil gets changed. I've done coolant flush, and he said that the coolant had never been flushed on the van, but we've actually paid to have that done before.
Yeah.
So I don't know if they didn't actually do it, and I just ended up paying them for it.
Well, if you got it on paper, whatever. Yeah, you might as well say you did it. I got my fingers crossed. We're trading in, hopefully, two cars. I've never traded in a car to a dealer, but it's just two cars I need to get rid of. And if they won't take them, I'll just put them in my dad's front yard. They'll sell. But a 2010 yeah. Pilot and a 2012 Prius, both with over 200,000 miles. So we try to keep ours running, too.
The Buick only has like 110, 115,000 miles on it. So it's 25 years old, but it ain't exactly, gone through a lot of hell.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's been pretty easy to maintain. I mean, it needs new brakes, which I didn't want to do if I was going to be replacing the vehicle. But if he's going to do the gaskets, then I might as well get the brakes done too.
Yeah.
And drive the piss out of it until it fucking dies.
Yep.
Nothing wrong with getting a little dirty.
And the van. Hopefully we can get it fixed. I'm not going to keep dumping money into it, but if it's another $100, $200 fix, that's fine.
Well, it sucks about Florida, though, either way.
Yeah, yeah. Well, we find out on Friday the state of my dad's vehicle, and then JoJo is hopefully still going out there for the summer because he's got his dirt bike out there and all his fun shit that he likes to do in the summer and helps out my parents.
Not like a win-win for him and them.
Yeah. It did bother me that my eldest took vacation so that she could go out there with us and hang out with my dad, and then it all got screwed up.
Yeah.
But there ain't a whole lot I can do about it.
Yeah. But she's working. We almost,
Well, she's you know, 22, and if she wasn't, I'd kick her ass.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
If she was going to school full time, you know, it'd be a different story, but.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's helped her out a lot working too, because she's actually, you know, got friends that she hangs out with and things, so.
Yeah.
But yeah, we almost said fuck it and bought another vehicle, and depending on how much money we have left when all said and done, I don't know. We might end up, but I don't think so. It'll depend on a couple other factors, because if we have the Mini, which is my middle child's vehicle, she doesn't think that she's going to be able to take it because she's planning on moving to Colorado next year, and the person that sold it to her was from Colorado, and they were like, the reason they sold it is because it couldn't survive the streets there.
It's a Mini Cooper.
Yeah, it's a fun little car to drive.
Oh, I bet so. But it's short wheelbase, so I mean, I guess it's front wheel drive.
Yeah.
I know my daughter's buying a Prius this Friday, a new one, and they come in all wheel drive now. And I told her, I said, number one, we live in South Carolina. Number two is. Where the battery is sitting in the Prius, you really don't need all-wheel drive. There's so much weight near that back axle. I've never slipped in ice in my 2012 Prius. So I talked her out of all-wheel drive. But.
Yeah. And I saw another Mini Cooper that was the Clubman, which is actually a four-door instead of a two-door. A
little bigger.
Yeah, and it's got... It's like... Almost 90,000 miles on it, 87,000 miles on it, and it was $9,000. I was heavily considering that one. And then the one Jackie wanted to pick was, what was it? Hyundai Accent 2017, but it only had 15,000 miles on it.
Oh, wow.
And it was $15,000.
It's crazy what used cars cost now.
Yeah,
I mean, I bought a 68 Impala when I was in college. I think I paid $900 for it. I know I bought a couple of Volkswagens, and I think they were between $900 and $1,200.
Yeah, no, I remember buying cars for like, you know, $500, $600, $700.
Yeah, yeah.
In the 90s.
Yeah, it's crazy how much they've gone up.
And yeah, maybe me and my dad had to turn a wrench on it, but
yeah,
you know, I remember being able to buy 350s or 351s for $250-$300 and a rebuild kit for like $100 and putting them in vehicles.
Yeah. And that was a lot of money back then, but it's, I think it's even more now.
or paying somebody $2,000 to do an entire, you know, engine replacement on a vehicle. Now they're telling me $6,000 for some fucking
gaskets.
That's kiss my ass money.
Yeah. How you, Dan?
I'm here. Sorry, I'm a little late there. I got distracted.
With your new dishwasher?
The next new dishwasher?
Nah, that's not until at least... You know what? I seriously don't think any time before mid-June to get any traction. The maintenance for it, warranty maintenance, is coming out on the 6th. And then they're going to have to diagnose it and probably order a part, and then the part's going to come in. And then it'll last 3 months if they don't address the electrical issues, if that's what it is, and I'll be back here again.
Dishpan hands.
You know, I have to say, though, damn, the dishes come out clean when I wash them.
Like, I bet so.
I mean, those glasses aren't looking cloudy anymore. They're looking crystal clear, Dave. You can look through there and be assured that you're putting the suppository in the right hole.
you're a picky SOB when it comes to clean dishes, I bet.
not, you know what? Yes and no. I don't want crust on my dishes.
Oh, of course not.
Yeah. Who wants that? I want clean dishes, Dave. water spots and stuff like that. I'm not too concerned about. I know when I worked in the restaurant, there was, you had to be really careful with that.
That was my favorite job closing at McDonald's, was washing dishes. It was the one person job. Yeah. It's great.
You know, that was, I echo that. When I worked at Burger King, I preferred to be back there washing stuff. Yeah. You know, cleaning it instead of having to be in there either preparing things or
dealing with customers.
The cash register. I only worked the cash register. Oh, God, it was so terrible.
I still can't believe they put you in a cash register. Forward facing. That makes no sense to me.
No. Dealing with customers is the worst part of any job.
Yeah.
Any job.
Yeah, I only worked the cash register once or twice. I didn't work it that long. But what was worse than the cash register is when they flirted with a couple of weeks of tableside service.
Oh, God.
Where you would order and then go sit down, and then I'd have to go, you'd have to go out and bring the food to them.
At McDonald's?
No, this was Burger King.
Yeah.
Oh. That's just as dumb.
I know it was. It was right really now, dumb.
For some reason, I'm thinking of Booger. From You're Better Off Dead. And that was you.
Yeah, they had they did this dinner thing, like this dinner basket.
Revenge of the Nerds.
Yeah, I was going to say, I thought that was Revenge of the Nerds.
Same actor,
They had done this, they did this like dinner thing where it was like they had baked potatoes at the time, so you got like a baked potato with fries, and there was like a fried shrimp entree or a steak burger entree, which was like, I don't know if you ever had your international chicken sandwiches that come on the long bun, but it was like a steak patty.
This is Burger King? Because you're making it sound really fancy. Entrees and international sandwiches.
What was this, Burger King in the 80s?
This is like 93.
Is this the vocabulary they made you use table side?
That's what it was. I mean, it was it was like the dumbest thing. I don't know why they did it. It only went for a couple of weeks.
They were calling the corn dogs beef Wellingtons.
Yeah, there was a chicken thing too. I don't know if it was like a BK broiler with a baked potato and a drink.
Trying to fancy to join up. Yeah, to stick Dan out there.
And I look like such a loser in a hat. I look special.
That's like, your mama loved you.
Like Ding Fries are done special in a hat, like that kind of hat. I just all I wanted to do was just like, I'm like, I just put me in the back. I'll do dishes. Did you have at McDonald's? Did you have? And then we should start the show before Joel gets in here and. Then it's workout weekly. But did you have Joe, did you work fast food at all?
Yeah, I did. I worked at Dairy Queen. That was my first actual in-person job that wasn't delivering newspapers or detasseling corn.
Oh, I hate shipping corn.
Detasseling, not shucking.
Either one. The silkworms I hate that.
Did you ever clean out the fryers with you had that like
grease trap?
That machine they had this machine at Burger King.
I didn't work there very long. My mom also worked there at the time, and it was just, it ended up being an issue, so
they got rid of you.
Nepotism. They got rid of me. DQ,
they had this like this machine that had like this like gun, but it was more of a hose, and
you would empty, it had this like bin in the front, and you would empty the fryer oil into this thing, and it had a filter on it, and then you would like, so you would get the oldest one, you would empty it into that, and then you would clean out, wash it out, and flush it out, and you would take that oil and dump it in the back. Then you would take the oil from the next one and you would put it into the one you just emptied. So you just like cycle the oil down the fryers, and then the last, and you'd have to wash each one all along the way. And then the last fryer, once you washed it, you would have to put brand new oil. Like, it was just like these huge blocks of hydrogenated oil that you just drop in there.
Yeah.
You had to cut them up in the back with this huge knife. Did you have one of those, Dave? It was like,
No. I worked the grill and it closed, and I washed dishes, you know, after everybody was gone. I didn't work the French fry station or whatever it's called.
I worked the broiler, Dave. The broiler.
Oh, yeah. You would be gay. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh boy, I'll tell you what. It was, you know, what was nice about it is you would sit back there and you would, if you were making food, it was like, oh, here's somebody's dinner. And then it was like, take a chicken tender, wrap it in a piece of cheese with a pickle and a little squirt of ketchup and pop it in your mouth. One for me, one for them.
Yep.
Oh, the shrinkage on that, huh? All right. Let's get this going. Do you know what episode this is?
This is 2000.
What?
2000.
No, try again.
Is it not?
No, it's not 2000.
What is it then?
It's 1100.
What?
How would you get 2000?
I don't know. That's what I typed in my notes last week. I don't know.
1100. Man.
Okay, that's all.
Yeah, that's all. Okay.